Everybody, thank you for being here this morning and welcome to rumble.com/LFATV. This is Rise Up, and my name is Jeremy Harrell, and I am the host of this show. If you are new to Rise Up, let me give you a brief overview of what you're watching and what you can expect throughout this hour that we call our Godcast. It's not a podcast. It's a Godcast because this is all for Him. If you're seeking God's word, if you're seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the teachings of Jesus Christ, this is where we break it down. I am not a pastor. I am not a preacher. I am not a reverend. I am a child of God. And what you get here on this show, Rise Up, is my personal journey with Jesus made public. We laugh, we cry, we seek, we worship, we have fellowship, we learn, we dive deep into scripture as it pertains to my life. And usually by default, things that I'm going through in my life are very similar to the things that you might be going through in your life. Some good, some bad, but here we are as children of God together, trying to make our way through this very wonderful but wicked world that we live in because of sin. And we thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for being able to be here together to worship digitally, since we're not in the flesh physically. And I welcome you to this show. I welcome you to sign in, follow the channel, be in the live chat, rumble, share, and pray. This morning, one of our own, FLR girl, lost her brother. But I don't like to say that word. I don't like to say lost. They're not lost. They're right where you know they are. So what I should say is I'd like to pray for healing for their family over this time of mourning that they've been physically separated from their family member, but eternally, spiritually connected forever, no matter where they are in the universe. We want to thank you so very much for sharing your experiences with us so we can pray for you. And having said that, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer now. So please, if you're wearing a hat or a helmet or headphones or whatever, well, you may want to keep the headphones on if you want to hear the prayer, but let's bow our heads right now. Lord and Heavenly Father, today and every day is such a blessing, such a wonderful blessing, where we can wake up and breathe air in our lungs and taste and smell and touch and feel and walk, talk in fellowship and give worship to you, Lord. It's just a blessing. I mean, so many people take so many things for granted, the birds, the air, the clouds, the sky, the roads, the people, the ingenuity, the medicine, the inventions, everything. We take it for granted every day because it's given to us every day. But if it was taken away, everybody would desire it so very much. And all we desire, Lord, is you. Everything else is icing on the top of the cake. It's a cherry on top. But if we have our faith and our trust and hope rooted into your foundation, then that's all we need. Everything else is an absolute blessing. The ability to even move my arm is a blessing, Lord, and I give that thanks to you. Lord, today we're going to talk about when you just don't understand why. There's always a reason, and we're here to talk about that today. Thank you for being in our presence, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be in yours. Thank you for the guidance that you leave us every day with Holy Spirit, our dear, beloved Holy Spirit. And thank you for giving your only begotten Son to take the sin of the world away, to give us an opportunity to know you intimately. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a wonderful story to tell you today. But before I do, I would like to make sure that you guys are aware that there is a 9 a.m. show that is rooted in the Lord, our God. And there is a 9 p.m. show that is rooted in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The 9 a.m. show is the one you're watching right now. And the 9 p.m. show, that's Eastern Standard Time, is a show called Trumpet Daily here with a friend of mine, Stephen Flory. I suggest that you, if you can, watch that show every night. If you can't watch it live, that's okay. But one thing about this network is very much like Christian Broadcast News Network, CBN. We are rooted in God. Now, I don't know if every single person that you watch on LFA TV has an actual fruitful relationship with Jesus or not. But I do know that everybody believes that God in heaven is in charge of everything. And I pray for those who are here, those who are watching, those around the world, if you're seeking his word, and you're just not where you want to be because you don't understand, you're going to get that answer through prayer to God and with help with people here on this network. So today's show is titled, When You Just Don't Understand. And I want to read the description for you, tell you the verse, and then I want to tell you a story, a personal story that happened yesterday here at the LFA TV studio. Also, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you check your newsletters because you did get a newsletter this morning. Episode number 357 of Rise Up. When you don't understand why God is doing something or telling you to do something, The devil will use that to his advantage every time. It is incumbent upon you to seek for the truth, but also to trust in his ways. The truth is God. The truth is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when we speak of the truth, Jesus is in that conversation. He has to be. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because he is truth. It is incumbent upon you to seek for the truth. That means seek Jesus, but also to trust in his ways. And if you know him, listen to him. If you listen to him, trust him. And if you trust him, then never waver from his instruction. I'm not telling you never sin. That would be a miracle. I'm telling you to never waver from his instructions. Let's talk about it today with a wonderful story that I'd like to share. And I would like to thank Miss Kittenhead. She said, I'm still sick, but I had to listen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day on this beautiful earth and for all the blessings that you have given me. Thank you especially for my LFA TV and prayers and money for LFA TV. Thank you so very much for that donation. Things are difficult, and I know that's hard. But that is like a tithing, and we will always put it to good use. I promise that. Now, the verse of the day today is going to come from James 1, 22 through 25. Let's go read that together right now. If you have your newsletters open them now. And we're going to be talking, like I said, James 1, 22 through 25. And if you have your Bibles open, then you'll know that there's a title to every group of verses. And the title to this group of verses is Hearing and Doing the Word. Now, before I get into the verse, I just got to tell you, when I was in my driveway years ago, drinking and swearing and letting off steam about the world and the elections and politics, I never thought that I'd be doing this. Never wanted to do this. As a matter of fact, I never monetized any of my Facebook stuff. I never made a dollar off any of my driveway rants or my backyard rants. I never monetized my song, Build the Wall, until 2 years after, well, a year after it was out, a year and a half after it was out, when my record label was like, dude, you know you could probably make some money back on all the money you've spent traveling and doing the song and recording it and everything. And I said, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Meaning that when I started to just let my voice be heard, before I was even a Christian, I never, ever thought that I would be here doing this. In October of 2016, I died on the side of an interstate. 8 years ago this year, I died. Jeremy Harrell of the world died. And I became a child of God. When I became a child of God, I never thought that I would be qualified to share the gospel. I just was like, I don't know anything about it. But I listened when God said, ask questions, seek God. And then I stepped out on faith. My wife said, I said, honey, I can't do my work, my job, my career, and LFA. I can't do both. She said, then you have to do what God is telling you to do. And at that time, God was saying, leave your six-figure-a-year job and step out on faith that you're going to make enough in donations and merch sales or whatever it is you do to be able to sustain you and your family, because you must get the truth out. That was a hard thing to do. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for my wife, I never would have done it. If it wasn't for all of you, I never would have done it. So I stepped out on faith and I did this. Built this little network, this vision that God gave me. Do this, do this, do this. That's what we did. And then God said, you need a daily show because you need to spend a dedicated hour a day with me. And the only way you, Jeremy Harrell, the new Jeremy Harrell, is going to do this is if you have something like Rise Up. God knew me better than I knew myself. I did not want to do that. I did want to do like a, remember when we did, Telegram Tuesdays? I was going to do something like that where I was going to sit down, drink my coffee, and talk to you about the Word of God like one or two days a week, 2 days tops. But then Antonio, who was doing the 9 o'clock hour here, said he couldn't do it any longer. So God said, you are going to take that hour and you are going to speak the Word of God. And you are going to tell about your personal relationship with me. That means every time you fail, every time you sin, every time you fall, you have to repent to me. And you have to tell it on camera in public. You have to put yourself out there like you never have before. I did not want to do that. I have no problem with people knowing about me. Not a problem at all. I've always been a pretty open book. But when it came to my spirituality, I didn't know enough. I didn't feel comfortable in it because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But that's what God was saying. And by the grace of God, I listened. And here we are today. If you ignore God, if you ignore his instructions, if you ignore his advice, if you ignore his guidance, you are missing an opportunity bigger than any opportunity that ever could be given or thrown to you here on earth. And that is, it pales in comparison. Now, when you listen to him, a lot of the times you don't understand what in the heck is going on. Why am I doing this? And that is so scary. But it's not a fearful scary. It's not a, I can't do this. I'm too scared of what's going to happen. It's more of like an exciting, anxious, I want to be a part of it, but I just don't know. God, please tell me. And sometimes he doesn't tell you. Because if he tells you, you may change your mind. He also wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to be that way. Do you know, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to just kind of go off on this story to tell you another story. This morning, I'm sitting in my truck. My 7-year-old daughter drew me a Happy Father's Day card. She couldn't wait to give it to me. She gave it to me 2 days ago. 2 days ago, she drew me a Happy Father's Day card. It was, I can't even think about it right now without crying. I said, honey, it's not Father's Day yet. This is amazing, but thank you. I said, what do you want me to do with it? She goes, I want you to take it with you to work, but then I want you to bring it with us to Iowa. And I said, okay. So I did. And yesterday she came to work to see me. Well, Sabrina had to come to work to send out some stuff, but she came with her. And she was so incredibly excited to come to Daddy, to see Daddy's work. She just loves to be here. And the first thing that she came up when she hugged me and said was, and we had a bunch of people here working yesterday. We had a plumber here yesterday. We had Fred, the guy who's putting up our security cameras for when we're gone. The guy you donated to because his wife is passing away from stage 4 terminal cancer. He was here yesterday, and that's what my story is really about. But she came up, and she hugged my leg, and she said, where is the Father's Day card? And I promise you, this is coming full circle. And I told her where it's at. So I came to work this morning, and I'm sitting in my truck, and I have the Father's Day card right there on my dashboard. And I pull it down, and I look at it. I take a picture of it just so I have it digitally as well. And I sat there crying. And I said, if I feel this way because of what my child is doing by recognizing me and recognizing my love for her by giving me this Father's Day card that she drew all by herself with little stick figures of me and her. She drew herself taller than me too. I thought that was a little odd, but I said, if I feel this way because I'm acknowledged by my child, how much more is God in heaven, tears of joy, because you, his child, acknowledge him. You listen to him. You have faith in him. Oh, it is, it pales in comparison. What you feel when your child does that for you is absolutely nothing compared to what God feels when you, his child, acknowledge him by listening and by talking and reading the Word of God and praying and listening to what he is saying to do. How much more is he just bawling? I mean, I'm in tears in my truck. He's in tears in heaven. You understand? You don't have to know what God is doing. You don't have to understand why he's telling you to do something. Yes, it might be scary. And yes, the devil is going to use that little bit of fear that you might have and try to worm his way in and tell you, don't do it. This is a life change. This could destroy everything. You don't even know why you're making the decision. You're not sure. Just stop. Pull back. Be reserved. Nobody on this planet didn't want to move to Iowa more than me. Right, Eli? Everyone in my family wanted to move for a very specific reason. I had every reason to move back home. But I hated the idea. I'm going to get real with you right now. I hated the idea. Everything that ever happened to me bad happened to me in the Midwest. Everybody that ever hated me or wished I was dead or wished they were never related to me or wished they weren't my father or wished they weren't my aunts and uncles or it was the worst place I'd ever lived ever. I found God in New Hampshire. I started a family in New Hampshire. I started a business in New Hampshire. Everything that's ever been good has happened to me in New Hampshire. Why are you telling me to move back where I hated everything, God? Why are you opening up these doors for me to go back there? I'm good here. I'm comfortable here with you, talking to you from here. And that was my answer right there. You're comfortable here. Now, I'm going to pick that story back up. The story of moving to Iowa after I go to this story. But before I go to this story, I want to read the word of God to you. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James 1:22 through 25. Yesterday, Fred, the man we raised money for about a month ago, because his wife is quickly deteriorating in a physical form because of stage 4 terminal cancer, aggressive. If he's lucky, he's got a year. Maybe two, but probably not. He came and he put up 6 security cameras for us here at the LFA TV studios so I can be able to monitor anything that might happen here with my mom or a break-in or anything like that. He had no idea we raised that money for him, by the way, till yesterday. I'm going to tell you the story. So when he and I get together, no matter what circumstance we're under, God comes first. We sit and we talk about God. We talk about Jesus. We talk about verses. He's throwing out a verse that I know, and I'm start talking with him. I throw out a verse that he knows. He starts repeating that verse to me because he's memorized it, because he lives it. It's so great when not on camera, not for the world, nobody around, just you and a fellow believer come together and you start worshiping just in conversation. You might not even know you're worshiping, but boy, are you worshiping. You know what I'm talking about. You're not at church. You're not in a formal setting. You are just two people coming together on earth and God is the center of the conversation. Is that not wonderful? You know what I'm talking about. So, comes in, does work. Probably work that could have been done 2 hours before he finished, but we kept talking. It's just the way it is. I'm never going to miss an opportunity to talk about God. As a matter of fact, I missed 2 meetings yesterday, and I am a stickler for making sure I make my meetings if they're scheduled. I missed 2 meetings yesterday because I stood out in the driveway and was talking about God. When I called the people, I said, I'm sorry that I missed our meeting, but a conversation came up about Christ, and he takes precedence over you. And they were okay with that because they know who I am. Anyway, he starts telling me about his life. Because when two people get together with God there, you never know where the conversation is going and why. He said, do you know about my family dying? My parents dying? And I said, no, I don't know that. He proceeded to tell me basically a testimony of his whole life because he trusts me. He said, my parents were killed when I was 4 by a drunk driver. Eileen, yes, I actually said that. 100% said that. I promise you I said that. Nothing in this world means more to me than Jesus. I don't care what it is. I don't care what meeting it is. A meeting with Donald Trump doesn't mean more to me than talking about Jesus. So he said, my parents were killed when I was 4 by a drunk driver. My dad died instantly. My mom died a little later. Me and my sister were both in the car. He doesn't remember any of it. He said, we were forced to live with my grandmother and grandfather. He said, but unfortunately for us, my grandma and grandpa abused us pretty heavily to the point where the state had to come in because I was malnourished and starving. He said, when the state came in, this is what I remember. This is as far back as I can remember. He said, I remember the state coming in. I remember being hungry, and I remember the state taking me away to go live with my aunt and uncle. He said, and I remember crying because I knew I was never going to see my grandma and grandpa ever again. He said, when I went to live with my aunt and uncle, they had kids, my cousins, and they resented me from day one. They did not want me there from day one because I was the outsider coming in, ruining their life. I was a burden. And he goes, and I was always told that, living with them. When he turned 18, his aunt and uncle took him to the bank. They took him to the bank because when his mom and dad died, they sold everything that belonged to them and put the money in a trust for him and his sister. Nobody could touch it. Nobody could touch it until them when they turned 18. when they took him to the bank, they said, you have a trust fund here waiting for you in the tune of $350,000 in 1992. They took him to the bank and they said, we are entitled to some of this money. And your cousins are entitled to some of this money. So that you can pay them back for everything that you took from them. For the burden that you imposed on them in their lives, having to share their mom and dad and their stuff with you. Imagine that. Imagine that. He said he cashed out $100,000 and gave $20,000 to his aunt, $20,000 to his uncle, and $20,000 to each one of his cousins. And when he got back to the house, his cousin said, must be nice to have money. And they told him he can go now. He spent the next 15 years of his life spending that money recklessly, sleeping with every girl he could. He didn't know God. Buying cars, fast cars. Driving them as fast as he could, trying to get cops to chase him so he could outrun them. And he said, I would pass 15 cars in a row in a non-passing zone just to see how close I could get to the oncoming traffic to see if I would die. Because he had nobody. And then he met his wife. His current wife that he has right now. She believed in Jesus. A friend of theirs was a Christian. And when they were going to get married, this Christian said, why don't you do it here at this church? It's a beautiful church. My dad's the pastor. They got married at that church where their dad, where their friend's dad was a pastor. That friend is a pastor of that church today. Him and his wife gave their lives to Jesus not long after that. His wife first. He told me he remembers getting a big fight. He was talking about like comparing his life to Lee Strobel's life. He said, I got in a big fight with my wife. She became a Christian. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how to do it. I remember driving down the road as fast as I could, swearing up a storm. We just got into a fight and I was bawling. And I said, God, if you're real, then prove it to me. Prove it to me. Not long after that, he found out they were pregnant and they were having a child together in the name of God. Gave his life to Jesus. And he's been living bare minimum ever since. And now his beautiful wife is dying. And I've never seen a smile on a person's face as much as I see a smile on his face. I've never seen somebody so willing to help other people give up time with his dying wife to go and help the school or go and help the church because he does tech support and security. And anytime there's a problem within the Christian school, he gives up his time. He'll even leave a job or reschedule a job that's paying so that he can give back to God. He doesn't understand why his wife is dying. He doesn't understand what he's going to do when she's gone. He doesn't know what's next. But he trusts God. And everything God tells him to do, he does. Now, hold on. I'm almost getting full circle. Last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, a lady that he helps once in a while, who's a very old lady, took in two homeless drug addicts because they were homeless and needed a place to stay. Older men who actually pose a threat to this old lady. You never know who they are. She's that kind of a hearted person. Well, he's a good friend with her, and she asked him, hey, they won't leave my house. Can you please come over and make them leave? They've been here long enough. So he went over there this weekend when he was supposed to be on a job, and he asked these guys, hey, can you leave? She wants you to leave. Long story short, one of the guys says, I'm going to just go back out on the street. I have nowhere to go. And Fred said, is there anything I can do for you? You have to leave, but is there anything I can do for you? And he said, I have nowhere to go. The only place I can go is to my mother's house, who's elderly as well. And she lives in Rochester, New Hampshire, about a two-hour drive from here. The last thing that he wanted to do was take away time from his family, reschedule the job that he was going to get paid to do that day, and give this guy a ride to Rochester, New Hampshire. And he said, as he was saying, well, there's nothing I can do for you, you still got to go, God said, take him home. He said, I don't want to take him. I don't want to put him in my car. I don't know the guy. He's a drug addict. He's huge. He's dangerous. God said, take him home. So Fred said, I'll take you if you want me to, if you need a ride, I'll take you. The sister is still alive, Kinley, and is not a believer in Christ. So there's a rough rock relationship there. So he said that I used that 2 hours to teach him who Jesus was. Here his wife is, could pass away any day. And he drove 4 hours, a total of 4 hours, to help some drug addict that he does not know, some old man who smells really bad and lives on the streets. And he brought the gospel to that man for 2 straight hours on the way there. And then gave him his card. This card right here. And said, if you ever need anything or just to talk about the word of God, call me. Yesterday, when he got done working and putting up cameras, I said, how much do we owe you for your time? And he came back and he said, $620. I said, okay. So he's standing there and we're talking, and I said, well, I didn't tell you this, Fred. The last time you were here, the LFA family raised money for you. And it's thousands of dollars. He looked at me like this. His eyes widened. They live off very little. Very little, him and his family. And he said, even though we live off very little, he said, we are so blessed. We have everything we need. I wrote him the check that you all helped raise money for him. Should have seen the look on his face. Eli was still here at that point. I don't know if he wanted to cry in front of other people or not, but he was really, really choked up. He said, why? I said, ask him. He works in mysterious ways. He's very grateful, by the way. He said, thank you so very much. And he asked me to ask that he's praying blessings over all of you for helping him and his family when you don't even know who he is. I said, you did that, didn't you? So why can't someone do it for you? So he knows my story, but he doesn't know why we're moving to Iowa. So he says, as he's leaving, Eli's gone at this point. It's just me and him standing right where I am. Actually, I was like right here, and he was standing right here. So get the camera over here. So I'm standing here at the end of my desk. The door's right here. He's standing right here at the end of my desk with me. I give him a hug, gives me a hug. He says, can I pray for you? I said, of course. So I want you to see the setting here, folks. I'm sitting here. He's sitting there, standing. Nobody's here. No cameras are on. Nothing. Just one child of God and his brother in Christ standing next to him. We bow our heads, and he prays for like 5 minutes, nonstop. And while he's praying, I'm crying, and God answers every question that I had about why in the heck are you having me move back to the place I hate the most? I mean, I know that the reasons why. I know why here on earth we're going, but spiritually, why? Why are you taking me from a place that I love so much? And while he's praying for me, he says these things, and I'll paraphrase. I won't do the whole thing. I don't remember everything he said, but he said, Lord, Father God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to know Jeremy, Sabrina, and their children. Now, he helps out at the school a lot because of his tech background. And he said, thank you for bringing them into my life. Thank you for the lessons that they taught me. Thank you for the time that I got to spend with their precious children. Cover them in an armor. Prayed for all of you. Then he got to this point and he said, Lord and Heavenly Father, he says, I pray that you make Jeremy's path clear to him, that you go with them and guide them on their move, that you reveal to them the fruit that you know that you're going to get from the seeds that you're planting. And he just went on this whole thing about us moving to Iowa. And then God told me, right then and there, you're not moving to Iowa for you, Jeremy. This is God telling me. You're not moving to Iowa for your wife. You're not moving to Iowa for your kids, although there's a lot of reasons for you to move because of those. You're moving to Iowa for me. What do you mean, Lord? You left the Midwest a broken human being. You hated me. You hated Christianity. You set out on this journey to prove everybody here wrong, that you were not a piece of garbage. You were filled with pride and arrogance and hatred. You're coming back home, a child of God. And all the people there that know you for who you were, that knew you before you died on the side of an interstate, are going to see the glory of God coming back as a family man, as a father, as a husband, as a child of God. And that testimony alone is going to save hundreds of people's lives. I never thought of that. Now, I did think of bringing the gospel to people, and I did think of being able to have low-hanging fruit. But I had no idea that was why we were moving. Thank you, HMC Grady. God bless you for that. So yeah, it hurts me so much to not be in the studio with my best friend every day. It hurts me so much that I'm not going to be near my mom and my brothers and sisters that are here, whom I've been with for decades. Yeah, that hurts. I don't know if the business is going to survive. I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is I'm working with what I got. But when he told me that last night, on my way home, I felt so peaceful. I felt full of joy. And I got to tell you, I am now excited. 9 days. That's it. 9 days. Now, like I said, I had to take things from this studio to make it work. Eli and I have figured out a way to be able to be connected all day long. And wouldn't you know it, it's because of this thing right here. Right, Eli? It's because of this little piece of machinery right here. Eli and I will be able to be connected with less than a half a second latency every day, all day. So it'll still be like I'm working with him in the same room. He'll be able to see me. I'll be able to see him. We'll be able to talk just like we're basically right here. But this right here, this piece of machinery, it costs like $80, maybe $100. So now I'm excited. Now, because I know why God has opened this entire thing up for me, now I'm excited. And let's not even talk about the business, the business side of this, because I'm going to be now centrally located for the TV company, for LFA. I'm going to be able to get to so many more things. I'm going to be able to do so many more live events. And I never even thought of that, really, until, you know, recently. And then I find out this, folks, and you want to know how God's moving? Let me tell you this right here, and we'll end the show. God has his people on the move, and that's all you need to know. Because for a long time, a wonderful man named Chris Green has watched this program and LFA TV. I didn't even know who Chris Green was. I knew there was a Chris Green in the live chat, but I didn't know who it was. I didn't put two and two together until about 4 months ago. And I found out that somebody that I believe, that I love very much, that I think is a true woman of God, Julie Green, come to find out, it's Julie Green's husband. Now, Julie has a big channel here on Rumble. She's speaking prophecy all the time. She's a great woman of God. Then I find out Chris Green is Julie Green's husband. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. Then we become friends. Then come to find out, I'm moving to the same exact town, city that she lives in. And you mean to tell me that God ain't bringing his people together? I don't even know what's going to happen. I don't even know what's going to happen. What I do know is God has a plan. And I'm following it, baby. Because just like James 1:22 says, be a doer, not just a hearer of the word, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. So ladies and gentlemen, I hope today's show helped. I hope today's show was great for somebody. I know it wasn't like diving deep into the word. Oh, thank you, Lolo. Thank you, everybody who donated. You guys are wonderful and great. God bless you guys. All I know is this, folks. If you love God and you're seeking Jesus and you're seeking the word of God, you want to listen, okay? You want to listen. Because if you don't listen, you're going to miss opportunities to glorify him. And you are going to forego opportunities to make him cry in the seat of his truck looking at your Happy Father's Day card like I was this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you guys have the most beautiful and wonderful day. I pray for great people, great men and women of God, like Chris, his wife, and all of you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll just say this. Keep God first place. Keep listening. It's very important that you listen. And we'll meet on the other side. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next here on LFA TV, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I pray that you guys can be here throughout the day. I pray that you guys can go through all the shows and give them a rumble, give them a like, and I'll see you at 11 o'clock. God bless you guys. Have a good morning. See you later.